This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Petey, Biscuit, Jimmy from Boston. Well, wait, should I say Big Dog, Shug? Seriously, the two gayest pet names I'd ever heard from any two men come out of their mouths and actually admit. It's a good thing you only got four listeners, because you do not want those pet names getting out there. We hitting the top 200, you better hold back that shit. I don't want to hear any talk of being called Big Dog Petey or Shug, Sugar Biscuits. You know what I'm saying? Let's keep that one to ourselves. Let's pretend it never happened. I mean, really, I don't want to always continue to call and bust your balls about you two being sissified, but you make it too fucking easy. All right? I mean, what am I supposed to do here with nicknames like that from your wives? It's crazy. I don't even know. I got to shake that one off. Later.
We're here at my house on a Sunday, shouting into the little microphone again.
At noon. This is so outside of our wheelhouse right now. But it also shows the dedication we have for the listeners to put together a show last minute on noon. We got Lou on hold for Monday morning, ready to lay this bitch down.
Yeah, and we do edit our show, which, you know, after doing this Bert Kreischer thing over the last week, a lot of these podcasts, they lay it down, they upload it as is, no taking out the fat. It's just, but we, yeah. You in particular go trim a lot of the stuff that you feel stinks, and you edit it. We got Lou spicing it up with music, bumpers, this, that, and the other thing. So ours is produced, and I like it that way. But today I figure, why don't we just try and do Stream of Conscious? See how that works.
This is it. So there'll be no edits. You know, I don't think we've ever made that really clear. And I just want to make clear, the kind of way we do the podcast is, if somebody says something out of line, we don't edit it out like, oh, you don't want people to hear that. We just, you know, we know when people talk, it gets to a point where it's boring shit and there's nothing happening. And we cut past that, put in some funny bits. We treat it more like we say, a show.
Yeah.
And, you know, we went and we did, as Sebastian was saying, I think it's called the Bert Kreischer Show, man. Bert Kreischer is a big personality on Travel Channel. He had a show called Bert the Conqueror, and he's a very funny comedian and a close friend. And we go to Bert's the other day, and literally we walk in, he's got a giant dog jumping on you, then a little dog. He's got two adorable little girls that are imitating him, and he just plugs in, hands us a mic, and goes, so what are you doing? What's going on?
Yeah, so, I mean, and we never really done anything like that before, as far as... First of all, it's our first podcast that we did together, and I'm telling you, we have to thank the listeners. Podcast jumped into the 96. That's the highest.
96?
Yep.
Yes! Holy shit!
96. That's what happens when you jump on popular podcasts. So we'd like to thank Bert's audience for tuning into ours, and I think we're on our way.
I think so, too. But I want to point out, since we've been freeforming, not a laugh yet. Nothing. I may as well do the weather. 80 yeah. degrees out here, traffic's light.
Well, you know what? It doesn't have to be funny all the time, right?
I know. But it doesn't. It's almost like whenever you see a comedian do a dramatic role in a movie or something, you're like, come on. I mean, Michael Keaton did a role, Clean and Sober. Did you ever see that years ago?
Yeah, a long time ago.
And it was great. He was awesome. But at the end of the day, you're looking at him going, nah, just fucking make me laugh.
Yeah.
Make me laugh. Don't pontificate, man.
You're right.
But anyway, no edits, baby. Where are we going?
Where are we going?
I got things, too.
You got things? All right. I just got back from, what the hell was I?
Cap City.
Austin, Texas. And, had a great time out there. Lana met me there on Friday. She's got some friends there, so we hung out with them. Went out to some restaurants. Great, great people out in Austin. And I got the house to myself for 4 days, which has never happened. I've never been here 4 days alone without her. She's in New York dress shopping. We just got the save the date done.
Nice.
And they're going to be going out. I highly doubt, based on your situation, you moving back to New York, you having a baby, that you're going to be able to attend this extravaganza.
Damn.
But the way this thing is looking, I mean, There's a lot of stuff involved.
Really?
I'm really excited about it. And the way Lana takes every aspect from Save the Date to the dress she's going to get, it's the details amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
Does she have a wedding planner?
Yeah. There's a wedding planner involved, which I've never, you know, growing up, we didn't have no wedding planner. Wedding planner was the groom and the bride.
Yeah, of course, man.
Nobody.
Yeah.
But
hope your mom isn't too busy.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. This is going to be clearly one of these weddings where it's a borderline. You're going to a wedding, but you're going on a vacation.
This is a vacation. This is definitely a vacation.
Right.
This is in Napa. A lot of people are making this a four-day event. There's going to be activities for 3 days. Actually, there's going to be the fourth day. We're going to have like a little brunch by the pool, which is going to be nice.
You're probably right. Unfortunately, being all the way across the country and having this kid, it's going to be tricky for me. So can I hear some of the details of what I might be missing in regards to like is Foreigner or John Legend going to be singing?
I am sworn to secrecy. I cannot tell you what's happening because a lot of people that are attending the wedding listen to the show, and if I let some of that out,
right,
Lana's going to kill me.
A lot
of this stuff is surprises. But to save the date, I mean, the what we went through, the back and forth, the color, this color, that color should be a little bit more yellow in your N.
Really?
You know, there should be grapes hanging off your S. You know, it's a lot.
You know, you got to know, though, when the time comes and the wedding comes around, no matter how much you plan, there are still little things that go wrong, man, that you just, like, Jackie was talking about it the other day. By the way, I don't care what you say. I'm editing all this out. I don't care. This is terrible. What the fuck?
All right.
Turned into The View.
That's it. Take it out.
You're out.
We had a band, and there's a song by Van Morrison that I wanted them to sing for the wedding song. You give me, it's called Crazy Love. And Van Morrison, you know him?
I heard of him.
He sings it with that Irish brogue. You give me love. Anyway, we got it. The guy's going to sing it. It's going to be great. Come the day of the wedding, a guy comes up to me about 10 minutes before it's time, and he's like, listen, Kathy really sings that much better. You mind if Kathy sings it? She's the chick in the band.
Mm.
And I'm like, guy, it's got to be a raspy man's voice. So then she sings it, and then it became, you give me love. And I'm like, what am I, in a fucking elevator?
Karaoke.
But it's last minute shit, and you gotta, you know, the cake collapsed a little bit, but by then you don't care, man. You don't care.
Yeah, it's not gonna be perfect.
No, it's not.
There's gonna be some hiccups. But speaking of the wedding and speaking of editing that whole portion out, maybe we could pick it up here. I've noticed I go out a lot. I'm gonna go to dinner, maybe drinks with friends and whatnot. And when the drinks come, I don't have a good toast.
Oh, really?
Do you have toasts that you have in the back of your pocket where if you were at a wedding or a function, you could stand up? And this goes along a little bit with our manarios.
Right.
That a man should have a toast in his back pocket that he could use at any given time.
I have a technique, not a toast in the sense that I don't do one of those, here's to honor. You know, ever hear the college one?
Yeah. You don't do that.
No, man. No.
What's the technique?
My technique is, if I'm about to do a toast, I do a mental note of if anybody lost somebody dear to them recently. I do a mental note if anybody got big news, baby, promotion, blah, blah, blah. And if any of those things are on there, I say those individually. If not, I just give we're all lucky to be together here. And, you know, I give a toast for the fact that we're all here safe having a good time. How do you fuck up a toast? It's the easiest thing to do. Bang out a toast right now. Pretend you and I right now just got the call from Judy that we got the fucking Travel Channel deal. And we just cracked open some champagne. We're at my house. I'm like, bro, this is sick. Nice. I pour. Toast this up, bro.
May your house never be too big for all your friends.
What does my house have to do with the moment, dude? It's about the deal we just got with Travel Channel. You don't even stick to the topic. The toast should be about the... And it's not even my house. It's a bungalow, and I'm half packed moving back to New York. Do I care about this place?
It's a general, like...
And that's what makes it terrible. That's what makes it terrible. It makes us think you don't put any thought into the moment, and what you do is what you do a lot. You stay cautious. Let me have a line, and I know my line's not offensive because I rehearsed it and worked it. No. Moment, bro.
Well, that's what I went and I wrote down toasts for some different occasions from the internet that I think people should possibly have.
All right, well,
you could add your own. You could add your own to it.
Give me an occasion. I'll do my toast, and then you tell me what you think you should do.
Here's the occasion.
All right,
we're at my wedding.
Okay,
right. Comes to you, Pete. Got anything to say about Sebastian and Lana?
Oh man, I have so much to say. Unfortunately, there's not enough time. But let me just start by saying there were a few things I enjoyed when I got out to L.A. But Lana and Sebastian made it really hard to want to leave. I mean, I wish them nothing but health and happiness, and everyone in this room for that matter.
It's fucking great.
That's fucking, because I just felt it, bro.
That's good.
What are you going?
Where am I going?
Yeah, what's your...
My toast to the people that are there?
Yeah, how about that? How about that? You want to... How about a toast to the father-in-law and the family?
I have to say thank you all for being here today. This is such a great experience for me and Lana. In particular, Scott, who...
What, are you winning an Emmy? Who's Scott? The producer?
That's the father-in-law.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know his name yet. I thought he was this guy. It's like, what is this guy who owns the banquet hall?
I mean,
you don't even have a moment where you go, Scott. Or do I say dad, or do I say, I don't know, it's all exciting. I mean, you gotta be funny, you're a comedian.
Well, this is why I was pining on this, because I'm gonna have to give some toasts at the rehearsal dinner, and I don't know, I don't do well with just, I think I have to write shit down.
I hear you. No, that's the way you roll,
did
man.
Did you write stuff down at your wedding? I don't want to be reading off like a piece of paper going, hold on one second, I got another line.
Right.
I mean, I want to have it kind of memorized,
right.
But I need it to be worked out before I start getting into it.
Don't remember the lines.
Yeah.
Remember the points.
Your point is,
I want to toast Scott. I want to toast my beautiful wife. I want to toast my new mother-in-law. And I want to toast everyone for being here. And then trust, as long as you know those bullet points...
Whatever comes out, yeah. No, I get it.
That's not how you roll. Give us another scenario. All right, do the Scott one. I'm sorry, I cut you off. I'm here. I got my drink.
Like,
I might come just for the toasts.
Yeah, well, I might just give you just live streaming on the toasts. I'd like to thank my new father-in-law, Scott Luckert. I'm fucking up already.
You don't even need There's new. Why do you need new? Did you have an old one?
Well, he's new.
We all know he's new. That's why we're here. I mean.
I got a couple down here for the mother-in-law. But these are like things I want to incorporate in my speech.
Right.
Like here.
Now you're giving a speech? It's a toast.
Well, no, as a groom, I got to give a speech, right?
A toast. It's called a toast. What do you mean? When do you think you give a speech?
Like before dinner.
Okay.
Is served. I'm going to stand up, thank probably my mother, my father, her mother, her father. At the end, I might, let's raise our glasses and drink to whatever.
Okay.
But I have to give, I'm thinking, 4 or 5 minutes.
Wow, you're doing a Letterman set?
I'm doing a monologue.
You're doing
to open up the thing, you know? Just this. Didn't you say anything when you had a wedding? Or did you just fucking party?
Don't insult me, bro. Of course I did, but you're scaring me with speech. I did at the dinner rehearsal.
Okay, rehearsal dinner.
Okay.
I'm going to have to say something.
I gave a little bit of a toast, mostly to my mom and dad, because they paid for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I did thank everyone coming in a day early, that sort of a thing. And then, obviously, the day of the wedding, I stopped everything at one point. Ding, ding, ding. Grabbed the, you know, I'd just like to say, I really want to thank my father-in-law. I mean, Mike, it's just such a beautiful day and a great day, and we wouldn't be doing any of this if it wasn't for you. And you know, and I just thank you so much for that. I'm so lucky to be a part of your family. And Mom, I mean, all the work you've done, I just feel so, you know. But the whole time, I got a glass in my hand, and then we drink. I mean, when you go up there with a piece of paper and no glass. People are going to be like, how long is this guy going to be up here?
Yeah, you're right.
Wow.
I don't know how the hell I'm going to work this. I got to say
on
something.
On the flip side.
Like your best man. Did you say anything about your best man? Thanks, Frank, for being there. Nothing?
Well, no. Why? What is Frank doing for you? Is he setting anything up? I mean.
No, it was more like a, just, hey, you know, thanks for nothing. I don't know. It's the first time I've done this.
Did he save your life in the war so that you could come home and be with Lana?
No.
No, he's just drinking for free in fucking Tuscany, practically, in America. Right? Where are you going again?
Napa.
Yeah. Thanks, Frank, for coming to Napa and getting a great deal on a fucking room and being a part of all this fun stuff. I mean, maybe you throw a thank to Frank for the bachelor party.
Well, that's another thing we got to discuss. I don't know what I'm doing for that. Lana's got her thing going, but go ahead.
I was going to say, though, man, you are, on the flip side, very successful, funny comedian. You know, I know mine, they were hoping I'd say a few things, and you got to throw in a few zingers. Mm-hmm. So for you to do 4.5 minutes, that's not that weird as it would be for a regular guy. And if it's 4.5 minutes of just heartfelt, get me a pillow. But if you're going to be funny, then
we're going to put some funny stuff into this.
Who's we? You got to do right.
My team. we're going to definitely. I mean, when I hear speech, I'm like, you, forget it. Because nobody knows how to give a speech. A lot of people are very, they're not entertaining.
Right.
So when I get up there 4.5 minutes, it's going to be, people are going to be crying. And then they're going to be crying laughing.
Wow.
So I want to mix those two worlds together. But anyway, I wrote down some stuff here.
Well, this is great. I want to help you with your speech.
No, but these are just like things that I think every man should have. Uh-huh. Little one-liners in the back pocket. Instead of going, cheers, and then everybody ding, ding, ding. How nice would it be? You're out with a group, some couples.
Mm-hmm.
The wine comes, and you stand up and say, to your very good health. May you live as to... Oh, shit.
See, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You got to memorize this shit.
I'm not saying you got to memorize it.
Well,
I'm
you got to pull it out of your wallet and go, no. Oh, we're doing the wine one. Hold on. Here it is.
You make it sound like you just have this shit. I'm
so
reading
that's
it
memorizing.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like you're reading it off a piece of paper.
But you want to always know these and have them.
Know this one. Here. may you be in heaven 15 minutes before the devil knows you're dead. No, that's not something that you could just whip out. Cheers. And people go, wow, that's nice.
That's a cool one. I like that. But did you just write that?
No. I took this off the internet.
Oh, that's good. But don't you think that's more of in a pub with men?
Yeah.
Because you said wine, that's not women around. That'd be, hey, I hope you sneak into heaven before the devil knows they miss you.
Well, I'm sorry. The scenario would be maybe with the guys.
Yeah, that's a good one to do if you're a cop and you're at the cop bar and, you know, the bad guy got away and it's just another day. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Sergeant O'Leary buys you a shot and you're like, may you sneak into heaven 15 minutes before the devil knows you're dead.
See, you're making this very specific. These are general, man. We're not police officers.
But then you can't use that when the devil knows you're dead. I've known you for over a year and a half. You never mentioned the devil
ever. It's a generalization. See, you're getting it. Here, here's another one.
All right. Give me a scenario behind it. Give me a scenario behind it. I'll give you a scenario, and then you pick one of yours, all right? I'll give you a scenario. Here's a scenario, okay? You go over a good friend's house for a barbecue on a Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. He hands you a beer, and he goes, you know what? My boy just got into Stanford. He's going to be the third baseman on the baseball team. Got a full ride. I'm so proud. All that hard work. You've come to the games in high school when I had you come, Sebastian. So we're pretty excited. Here, have a beer.
Okay, see, this is where...
Nothing? Why?
These are not... Jesus.
Did you hit me with the devil one there?
No, this is what I have in front of me. I have about 15 different toasts that I was going to rattle off to you.
Right.
To see if these were good toasts.
Scenario, though?
These are, okay, like here, like me and you, let's say, are having a drink, like now.
Okay.
And I would say, here's to you, here's to me. The best of friends will ever be. And if we ever disagree, well, fuck you, and here's to me. Like, these are little things that if you whipped out.
Right. Yeah, the best friends I'll ever be. I mean, right out of the gate, it's a little...
No, I mean, this is not, like, we're not best friends.
But
we're
good friends. But,
man, this is, like, unbelievable, man. I'm trying to give people, our listeners, a little education on maybe having a toast in their back pocket. And you're saying that this is not something that you should have in your arsenal? I mean, how could you not?
If
somebody whipped that out, you go, whoa, what the fuck? He's got toasts? That, no.
Well, listen, I like the devil one. That's a good one to have in your bag. That one was good too. Right, I don't know. I'm touched.
Maybe some aren't for you.
Yeah, but I mean, what about feeling in the moment? I mean,
yeah, there's a moment toast. I'm just saying.
So these are just when two guys are gonna have a
two
beer.
Two guys, maybe a group.
All right, I got.
You're at dinner.
Just for random, no reason. We're not toasting anything in particular.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be like your son has got a scholarship at Stanford.
I'm making a mountain out of a molehill. I'm with you. I'll throw one out. A random one. Yeah. I'm just making up here. All right? I'll just say something like this. You know, when Jack, like, let's say someone goes, just fucking throw something. Yeah. Well, here's to a cold beer. Let's all hope it's not our last or even close to it, huh? Hey, a little something?
I don't know.
No, well, I mean, at least it came from here, man. I mean,
yeah,
Devil Wears Prada or something.
Yeah, well, the giggle at the end was weird.
Well, that's to let them know it was a joke. It was a bad one, but we should all be laughing. All right, what do you got?
All right. Here's one. One to start off. And these are cheesy, some of them, but I'm just saying you could put your own spin.
I don't know what you're saying, because now you're saying they're not even good. Now when I even
they're little starters.
Okay.
Okay, I get up.
Okay.
Could be a group of people. Got my hand, I got the wine up. Wise, kind, gentle, generous, sexy,
long. It's getting long.
I'm
sorry.
That's where I'm leading you.
One more time. I'm so sorry. From the top.
Wise, kind, gentle, generous, sexy. But enough about me. Here's to you. Come on. No, something? I don't know, man.
I think I've seen that on a t-shirt at the mall.
Yeah, I'm just saying. These are things. Here's one to my mother.
Okay.
This could be at the wedding.
Oh, okay.
Maybe we're...
And Ma. Time.
All right. Ma. Here's to the happiest hours of my life, spent in the arms of another man's wife, my mother.
Oh, come on.
Wow. No?
First of all, you're kind of implying that you enjoyed being in the arms of your mother growing up more than you enjoy being in the arms of your new bride. The happiest days of my life spent in the arms of another man's wife.
Okay, that could be construed as that.
I mean, right there, I think Lana would be like, oh, this is good. This is good. Yeah. And I'm going to be fighting with the attention of his mother.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
Yeah.
All right, we got to nix that one off.
A little insulting to your old man, too, on top of that.
I mean, God, you're ripping these to shreds.
Because, I mean, can you just, right now, bro, just rattle something off of your mom? I'm your mother. Oh,
it's not gonna work.
Come on, bro,
man. It's like if it was really that situation, I'd be crying. I'd be weeping right through the goddamn thing. I'm not gonna weep here.
All right,
and that's gonna come off as being fake. Under the circumstances, I could come up with something, but here I'm gonna fucking cry.
So if you know you're gonna cry, then why even bother with the page? It doesn't matter.
You're getting this whole fucking thing mixed.
Give me another one. You're the one who said to your mother. All right, do another one.
Okay, here, mate. This could be if you're out with your girl.
Okay.
And you get a glass of wine before the dinner. Do you love me, or do you not? You told me once, but I forgot.
Goodness.
These are...
That's like, I mean, isn't that what you say when you pick the daffodils off? She loves me not?
I don't know. Here's to love that begins with a fever and ends with a yawn. It's kind of funny. Hot.
Now I'm tired yet, Dan?
Yeah, a little tired and you went to bed. It's like a joke. It's funny. I don't know, man. You're fucking up this whole...
What about, baby, when I laid eyes on you, you were the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. But now, there's a woman more beautiful than that woman I saw years ago. It's you, all over again. Holy shit, I'm so good. I just riff these. I just riff them.
That's pretty good.
That is great. I'm unbelievable.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Listen, I want more toast, but you're already letting me know because there's no edits in this show today. So that you need to warm up mentally because later on in the show... I need you to do a prank call on my brother.
Okay.
So you don't have to cry, but you do have to act. All right? All right, one more toast you got.
One more toast.
No, as many more as you want.
Here's the, if we're all out, the buddies, gonna drink.
All right.
Here's to the
pitch. Hold on, guys. Sebastian wants to say something. Right. Tony, come on. You can talk to her in a minute.
All right.
Come on, Tony. Listen, guys. Here's to the pictures on my desk. May they never meet.
Dude, seriously? That's pretty funny. You mean all the girls? You have pictures of girls on your desk? That's funny.
Okay.
That is funny, man.
We got one. Here's one. Guys out. My friends are the best friends, loyal, willing, and able. Now let's get to drinking, all glasses off the table.
Oh! Even you know Money End, man.
Oh, shit. All right.
Well, I want to go on record saying this goes out to every woman out there who's trying to get pregnant or is pregnant. Listen, there is no reason for the man to go to the shower. Do not do this to us. I'm not even trying to be funny. What's the point? I was at that shower last week for my neighbor. Oh, my God, bro. So, listen, anyway, the shower, it got to the point where, you know what onesies are?
Yeah. Like a leotard?
For a baby?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. At one point, they go, oh, in the second bedroom, everybody's creating onesies, designing onesies. And I was like, I said to Jackie, what does that even mean? And she's like, oh, it's like baby underwear. And you just, they have crayon, markers in there and stuff, paint. And everyone's making special T-shirts. Okay. Man. This thing got so boring. After I did my little hangout on the porch, I went inside and I made a Derek Jeter Yankee onesie for this kid. Bro, off the charts. I had the Yankee emblem. I Googled the Yankee whole thing, and it was just gorgeous. Beautiful. Derek Jeter, number 2.
Derek Jeter?
That guy's got an edge.
Oh, definitely an edge.
He's got an edge. Totally.
Porque tiene un edge.
The little bats on the side. That's how bored I was.
Wow.
I got a photo. I got to show it to you. So yesterday, Jackie goes to the girl's Facebook, and she's like saying what a great shower it was.
Yeah.
And then she had, I'm talking at least 12 of the onesies, photos of them, all laid out on a Facebook for people to see. And my fucking Jeta didn't even make it. I can't even believe it. It was the best one by far, and it didn't even make it.
What one?
And here's the one thing, though. This will get you, too. She laid them out on a piece of furniture at her house, like a couch, and she took a photo of them and put them on Facebook so everyone could see. But the couch was so stained that you couldn't even look at the onesies. My own wife was like, oh, look at the stains. You know when you take your three fingers and you push them out on your phone and you make the picture come closer?
Yeah,
focus right in on the stains and you're like, wow.
You didn't notice the stains at the party?
No, the party wasn't at her home.
Oh, God,
No. So I was like, first of all, I was aghast my Jeta didn't make the cut. And then I was like blown away by the stains.
Oh, man. So what ones did make it that you were like, this is never going to make the photo?
One was good. One guy did, he had it was a martini glass on the onesie. And then below it, it just said, fuck milk. Can't argue with that, man. That's a good one. And then my wife made one with like a peace finger. It was really well done. Then in script across it said something like Namatase. And I go, I know she's having a girl, but that's the name? And my wife goes, no, we do yoga together. And that's fucking something you say in yoga. And that made it.
Wow.
I know. Namatase. So, number one baby bullshit. Come on, man.
Yeah, well, this is California. There's not many Yankee fans out here, man.
I should have wrote one of your dumb toasts on the goddamn onesie. That would have got me in.
The toasts.
May you be in heaven for 15 minutes before the devil knows you're dead. That would have made it.
That might have made it. Right on the back.
So, I mean, don't you agree, man? I mean, we shouldn't have to go to a shower. That's all I'm saying. Don't do that to us, ladies.
That's something where we should not be at all.
Exactly.
Did Jackie even want to beat her?
Yeah, well, it's a friend, of course. Yeah,
but I mean, come on. Did you have to make small talk with the guys at the shower? Like, hey, what do you do? One of those things?
Well, I did, but the thing is, and I said too much about it last podcast, and I didn't want to, but Every man there was gay except me and the husband. So it was interesting. You know what I mean? That's why there was some really good onesies. Mm. These guys were getting into it. Probably, and glitter and shit coming out of the room going, do you have any glitter? Oh my God, they're using glitter. I should have had a little glitter after the following through from the bat. You know? I don't know. Can't top those gay guys when it comes to creativity.
Yeah, they're piped in on that. That's their world. Fashion.
It is. But we went with our two neighbors, the flamboyant gay guys. We all drove together. And there was a monster of vegetable lasagna that she made for her own shower, the girl. She lives next door to us, and she wanted us to bring it to the shower.
I told you that. Did it look like shit?
Well, first of all, it was all in tinfoil.
Oh, see, that's it. That's a turnoff right there.
I just got back from doing the podcast at your place. I was running late, and Jackie's like, grab the lasagna. It's over here. I get the lasagna halfway out to the car. I'm balancing this giant tray. And, you know, lasagna's heavy, but this shit was so heavy. I'm balancing the lasagna. And as I'm getting ready to place it down on the ledge right by the car, my leg starts to feel warm. I'm like, what the fuck? I look down. This lasagna has been dripping down on my new sweater and my black jeans, just soaking them up. I mean, it was soup. She put the vegetables in there. Vegetables have a lot of water. And, you know, she didn't do anything about... why do I feel all of a sudden like I'm that dumb blonde in The View? The one I can't stand.
Excuse me. Let me speak.
Oh, God.
No meat in the lasagna either? Come on.
Why are you bringing food to the place? Doesn't the place have food?
She had it at a... Listen, these are working... these are actors, man, on tight budgets and shit. So it was at a friend's place. And
how was the place?
It was fine. It was a two-bedroom. Yeah, it was very clean.
All right.
I asked for a cup of coffee, and he said he didn't have coffee. He said, okay, no problem. And then he came back to me 10 minutes later, and he goes, listen, I don't have any coffee. I just want you to know I need coffee for everybody here, so I'm going out to get coffee, and I don't want you to think I'm going to get it just for you, you know? In my head, I was thinking... The fact that you're having a party and you don't have coffee is a you problem. That is not a me. I mean, I'm practically asking for water. Who doesn't have coffee?
What was for food? Like the lasagna? What else did they have? Give me a rundown of like the table of food. Was it buffet style? Sit down? What were we talking
about? It was all homemade, but then it was put on... heating trays with the propane things underneath.
Oh, yeah, the, what do you call it, the sternos?
Yeah. So there was a giant ham, baked ham, on the bone with collard greens. I don't think I ever had collard greens before. That was good. I like that, man.
All right.
But after like 5 or 6 mouthfuls of collard greens, you get a little collard greened out. Then there was a turkey. And now this is how she makes a turkey. She wraps the entire turkey in bacon strips. The entire turkey is wrapped in bacon strips and held together with
toothpaste.
It's
trash.
But here's the thing. Then the turkey tastes like bacon.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why don't I just have fucking bacon?
I don't know.
I don't even get
that. What's that? Is that creative? Was anybody carving the turkey? Anybody serving? That's what I'm asking.
No, we had to carve ourselves. And I would have got more ham, but I was embarrassed at my inability to carve the first go around. So I said, I can't even do that again.
Okay. I don't mean to toot my own horn, but this is why when I have a party, I am serving my guests. So you don't have to carve. So you don't feel bad getting seconds.
I
will offer you seconds.
You don't think for a half a second I wished I was at a shower you were throwing? That's all that was going through my mind the whole time, kid. Are you kidding me? I asked you for coffee. You'd be like, decaf, caffeine,
vanilla,
espresso, cappuccino. You want the foam milk on top? I mean, everything, man.
I would have made a design in the foam.
Oh, last time I was over, I asked you for brown sugar, and there was a pause, and I'm like, no. And then it was only a pause because you were trying to remember where it was.
Yep.
And then you opened up a drawer, you're like, there you go, brown sugar.
That's it.
Thank God. So that was that, man.
Well, that's good. Good that she went to the party. And yeah, I'm not a big guy on showers. So let's stop going. Guys, if you're listening, do not go to showers. Pete is telling us right now it ain't worth it.
Yeah, no. Gotta go golf with the men.
That's another thing I don't like doing.
I thought you like golf.
I like it, but there's a lot of guys that talk about golf after we golf.
Oh.
You know, you ever get that guy with like, oh, I was on 15 and I took a 9 iron and it's 100. Just play the game and that's it. Nobody gives a shit about the putt that you made on 9 that was 18 feet down a slope.
It's like when you have a bad flight and you try to recount it to somebody else. They're just giving that look like, I wasn't on the plane. Yeah. I feel nothing. I feel nothing. It wasn't the only thing more boring than golf is talking about it, right?
Yeah, it's awful.
My dad loves his golf. I'm not a golf guy at all.
I mean, it's good. It's all right just to go out, maybe crack a few beers open, swing the ball or swing the bat, whatever the hell it is that you
get. Club, man. It's a club.
Club, bat, ball.
Do you know what a birdie is?
Yeah, a birdie is when you go one under par.
And an eagle?
Two under.
And a hole in one.
One shot.
Bam!
Do you know what a double bogey is?
Oh, that's fucking Tiger Woods after his scandal came out. A lot of those, right? That's two over par.
That's
that right. Means you ain't making the cut.
That's
You'll be right. Going home after 2 days.
Good. Well done.
That's
well done.
Right.
See, we give a lot of information here on the show. We give sports tips, shower tips. Things are happening.
What would you go if you were pro golfer? Black pants, black shirt?
All black.
All black.
All black. Maybe even a black. You know, like I notice a lot of the shoes are like kind of ripoffs of some of the athletic shoes. I think I'd go with a nice loafer.
Yeah.
Black with tassels. With no socks.
I would go. I like a lot of the way Tiger Woods dresses. Although he looks dorky in the hat, I think I would bring back the, like, I don't know how else to describe it. Justin Timberlake and Michael Bublé wear them, those fedoras.
Oh, fedora.
I'd have the black one.
Okay. I could see you in one of those. I'd go hatless.
Yeah?
Yeah, no hat. It's going to screw up the hair,
dude. What about when you're playing in Arizona or Hilton Head in the summertime?
Sorry, you get a nice SPF, what, 35, and you get a nice glow on the face.
But you get this is what's going to happen with the announcers. They're going to be, and Sebastian Maniscalco's lining up for his drive on this par 5, 13. It's a tough one here. And I got to tell you, Bill, with this sun coming down, see the beads coming off his head, huh? Why wouldn't he wear a hat, you know?
I hear you. It's like, I don't know. I guess that's his thing. He doesn't wear hats even when it's really hot. But
it could be a problem down the line. But anyway, Sebastian's lining up. Do you want to hear that being said about you, bro? That's what they're going to be saying. You're not going to have a hat on fucking playing in the Phoenix Open.
No, and then if that was said about me, then afterwards when they're interviewing me after 18... I would say the reason I don't wear a hat, number one, is because I'm stunning. and secondly, I need a good, deep tan on the face. Hat, 39-year-old man, I can't wear a ball cap, even though I got one on today.
Which one was that golfer that would pull out the sword afterwards and pretend he just like, Zorro.
I don't know. Oh,
Chichi Rodriguez, I think was the name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was great. I'd have a move.
I'd have a move.
Oh, if I did a birdie, I'd have a move. If I did eagle, if I was going for eagle, they'd be like, fucking Corielli, he's going for eagle. I hope he gets it. You ever see his eagle dance? Oh, my God, his eagle dance. I fucking dropped down. I don't know, man. I'd hop back and forth. Maybe I would do a limbo. I would hold the golf club out in front of me, and I'd go under it. That's my eagle dance.
Oh, God. Oh, right under the club. He's going under the club. Oh, man. I tell you, that stench in the room's gone.
Oh, I did a spit take.
You need a wet nap? Oh, I think I got another wet nap.
That's like that. The way that stench went away is so similar to when somebody a little down on their luck gets off the subway train, and it takes like three stops before you truly get that down on their luck fella out of the fucking car.
Oh God.
Oh. How's it feel to laugh, Dan?
How's it feel to be alive again? Oh. Jesus. The whole room changed.
My goodness.
Smells like Aqua Di Gio and Jarkar in here now.
The plants are high-fiving in the back.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Does Charlie Daniels play a mean fiddle?
When you touch me.
That guy is in town I told you about from those Geico commercials. Mike McGlone.
Can we get him in?
Yeah, he just left me a message while we were talking. He got in yesterday.
He's a fucking ridiculous musician too, man. What does he play, guitar?
Yeah, sing a song, right?
Do you have a guitar at the house?
It's out of tune, though, but yeah.
I mean, if we put the guitar in his hands, could he do like maybe an acapella?
That's
like,
what I'm saying. Well, I mean, it wouldn't be acapella.
Oh, not acapella. What do they call that? Unplugged?
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff he does. We get our first singing song.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's if we get that on the show, that's another 20 spots up on iTunes. Is he in town the whole week? Can we get him in here on Monday?
I don't know. I'll find out. It's a good question.
All right. But,
you know, I do have a guitar, and it's good, man, right? So one time, he sat in my Jeep when I used to do that Jeep thing, and he played my guitar in there. But you ever around these kind of musicians where, like, my guitar is good, and I give it to him? He's fucking tuning it for, like, a half hour. As he's twisting, you know, he goes ding, and then he twists the neck, and he's like, it's just ding. Yeah, no, I don't even know how to tune it. Ding, you know, and you're like, guy. It fucking sounds fine. Let's go.
Yeah,
what are we
but
doing
to a
here?
Musician's ear, it's different. He wants to. It's like having a microphone as a comedian, and it's not doesn't sound right. There's like a tinning noise in it. You gotta want to fix it, right?
You do, but at the end of the day, man, let's just do this. I'll tell you the jokes, you'll laugh, and we'll get it done. I mean, come on. What are you, Beethoven? Jesus.
Guy wants a nice tuned guitar.
He does. He's a perfectionist.
Good. Well, good.
Even
his hair is unbelievable, by the way.
when he does these intimate concerts in the city for like 100 people maybe in these great mini little theaters, I know him really well, and we're good friends, so I know how particular he can be, but sometimes people will be talking a little bit during a song, and I'll go, oh, this is great, because when the song ends, he's going to give a mouthful. But it, like the song will end, and the way he'll do it is he'll put his head down, he won't look up, and he's like, that last song, when I wrote that, I was in a difficult place, and it's a near and dear to my heart. So when I hear people talking over that kind of music, I get offended. And you're just like, oh, this guy's holding back the demons. You know, because this guy really wants to go, you mother. Yeah.
Did you ever ask him about, like, do you ever want to, after that, say, hey, listen, you want to shut your mouth while I'm doing this? Or there's going to be a problem?
Yeah.
Does he ever want, did you ever ask him that?
Oh, yeah. He comes to my comedy shows, and he's blown away at the, like when I first started being friends with him, I have a spot at the Comedy Cellar on a Thursday, and we're having lunch, me and him. I got a 20-minute spot that night, and he'll literally go, good luck tonight, man. Break a leg. I hope it goes great. And I go, dude, I like do 3 or 4 spots a night. It's not like your concerts that are, you know, he brings in a band to back him. He gets the lighting just right. I'm like, I do this, you know. So when people talk during a show or something or yell something out, he's like, I can't believe how you handle that. I'm like, it's a different art form, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, when he's there, do you make mention that he is in the crowd?
When we were in Vegas recently at the same time, I did. But not in New York City if I'm just doing 20 minutes.
Okay.
If I'm headlining, maybe, but I did in Vegas, yeah.
If somebody's in the crowd, or let's say if you are in the crowd, and you're at his show, and he goes, guys, I'd like to thank a couple special people for coming out tonight. Right over here, comedian Pete Corielli. And do you want to be announced that you're at a show?
I mean, if you want to be humble with the listeners, you're going to go, no, I'd rather just sit back and watch. But on the other hand, you're like, Yeah, how fucking cool is that?
Yeah.
That's old Sinatra shit right there, you know? But, you know, he'll do it with me at his concert where he'll say something funny and go, you know, if Corielli was up here, I had Corielli do it, you know, and just point over to me. That would have been, you would have laughed at that or something. And everyone's like, oh, that's the comedian over there, his friend. But one time, and I was just getting to know him, he's up there and he's doing this love song. He's about to do it. And he goes, this next song, I want to dedicate this next to him. A really good friend of mine, a couple. They are inspiring. Their love is inspiring, and it's a model and a mold we should all aspire to have. And you're sitting there going, you're talking about his brother or something. Mm-hmm. And he goes, this next song's for Pete and Jackie. And he looks right down at us. I'm like in the second row, and now I'm like, oh, this is fucking awkward. And he sang the whole song staring right at us. Every note, every key.
Did you stare back?
What am I supposed to do? Check my fucking phone?
No, but maybe a couple, what are you going to do? Just look at him?
I did a look away, like, to indicate I'm looking away, so you look away.
Yeah.
You know?
He didn't catch
on. No, he just kept firing. I looked back, and he's still staring at me. We get it. The song's about us. I appreciate it. And it was to the point where everyone else in the crowd is looking at us like, my God, I mean, what did they do for him? It was so personal. It was too personal.
Yeah.
Share it with everybody. Make the dedication, then share it with the room.
I agree. I agree with that.
So,
yeah, I mentioned John Legend when he came to the show in New York, and I didn't know whether or not he wanted to be outed at the show, but I did it. I don't know. I've never really had anybody famous come to the show, and I said, everybody, I'd like to thank John Legend for coming out to the show tonight, because I don't know if he feels like after the end he's going to get mobbed, right?
Yeah.
So that's the only time I did it. Now, John gave me tickets to go see him open for Sade at the United Center, right?
He opened for... Smooth Operator.
Yeah.
Should be the other way around. Bang out Smooth Operator and then step aside, lady.
She was on tour and he was the guy. I think it was a co-headlining thing. Not. I shouldn't say he opened up, but I think they were co-headlining the show or whatever. So he goes, you want to come? I said, yeah, no, I'll come. And, you know, me and Lana go down to the United Center and we get a little meet and greet backstage before he goes on. Take a photo.
With him or with
Sade? No need to ask, he's a smooth operator. No, with just him.
Oh, too bad you didn't get to meet
Sade. No, Sade, although I'm a fan of Sade. I grew up with her. You were growing up to Led Zeppelin and my dad was blasting...
What?
You're no ordinary love.
Oh, I like that.
That was my jam.
See, I would light candles for Jackie and try to do like a spa thing in our old apartment in New York. And there was like three Sade tunes that were perfect. And then nothing else worked. So I just have to play those three. I'd be rubbing my wife's back 45 minutes in. We both know all the words.
Smooth operator. Yeah, I was playing that in college.
Let's be honest, though. Sade is getting by on about two or three numbers. Her whole career. I mean.
No. If you look at the body of work, there's a lot of songs there.
You're Googling Sade. No, we can all do that. That's my point.
I have it in my iTunes, and I was looking to see if I could pull up a number, but I can't.
It's because there's only two.
So anyway, listen.
All right.
He got great seats. I couldn't believe I got the seats I got. I'm like. I'm going to say 20th row.
Wow. Nice.
And he's doing his thing.
Awesome.
So I can't lie.
Don't even say it.
But at the end, I was hoping maybe he'd give me a shout out at the United Center. No?
No. Yeah. At the time, you were 2 years away. Maybe now you're a year away. You're close.
How long do you got to be?
One more special. I would think so.
And then I get a shout out.
Look, it depends. Depends who you're at, where you go. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Gavin DeGraw would probably give you a shout out, but John Legend in the United Center, that's big time. Even if it is opening for
Sade. No need to ask, Jesus, smooth operator. you just can't wait
for what?
For Lou to do something with that shot there. You know, every time you're going to do that, there's going to be a smooth operator over that.
Did you really think maybe he'd
be... Come on. United Center, John Legend, going to say Sebastian, and the crowd's going to go, who? So, yeah, I think you have to have somewhat of a name to get introduced at a show.
How do you think he reacted to you?
He probably said to his girl on the ride home, what the fuck's he introducing me for? I don't even know the guy. So...
One time at the Comedy Cellar, Chappelle was on stage, and John Mayer would hang out a lot, as I told you, you know, and it was... I don't know, man. I kind of felt like Mayer was like trying to be noticed or whatever. But at one point, the only bathroom is past, right past the stage. You got to go use the bathroom. And Chappelle's in the middle of talking or whatever. And John Mayer walks past to go use the bathroom. And Chappelle yells out, John Mayer, just like you, motherfucker, I'm waiting on the world to change. And John Mayer just kind of stood, you know, if you should keep going or not. That's when you know you're a beastly comedian, when you're actually making a rock star uncomfortable for half a second. You know? Just like you, motherfucker, I'm waiting on the world to change.
That was good, wasn't it?
Oh, oh, God.
Oh, boy.
So, get any water? I'm dying.
Yeah. Let's pause it up. Let's pause it up.
Any of the guards are still speaking to me. Could I have a glass of water?
Listening to that old hang you had with Marc Maron on the Marc Maron podcast.
Yeah.
And you were talking about, Marc Maron brought up basically how he saw you at a club, thought you were funny, and then 2 days later he was taking a meeting at the Four Seasons and you were a waiter, not his waiter, but you were a waiter there. And, you know, he just kind of knows what it was like for all of us back starting. My point of all that is I worked 4.5 years at front desk at a hotel. You worked all those years at the Four Seasons. Mm-hmm. I would imagine through the years, you have to have a few stories. And do you talk about it on stage?
No, because the stories are probably set up more for a show like this.
Yeah.
Where it's a little bit longer and not as funny as it would be on stage. But yeah. Let me ask you, you checked people in?
Yes.
To a hotel.
Yeah. And you know, I didn't... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was always fascinated about the front desk and... being oversold, maybe, and Lana's father actually would go to a hotel and they would say, we're overbooked or we don't have any more rooms left or whatever the case may be. And Lana's father would say, if the president of the United States walked in here, would you have a room for him? Now, is there always a room in a hotel?
No, bottom line is you can actually sell all your rooms.
Okay, but if somebody walked in, like right. Mick Jagger.
Yeah. No, no, there's no room. There's no room. I mean,
I'm just saying, there's not a floating room. Like,
maybe there's a room that's out of order with a leak, and you can go, Mr. Jagger, we got a room, the leak, blah, blah, blah. But okay. So I worked front desk, I worked at night for a while before I started moving the days, but I'd be like 3 to 11 at night, and it would drive me nuts. It was called the Southgate Tower Hotel. It was like diagonally from Madison Square Garden. About a 3.5-star out of 5-star hotel. Not too bad. But they would oversell the damn place. So by the time I come in, you go, all right, we have 50 more arrivals, but we only have 40 more rooms. And then now you're hoping... Oh, my God, I hope some of these people don't show up till after 11 when I'm gone.
Yeah.
Because once 5 o'clock ends, the GM leaves, the assistant GM leaves. The only one left in charge is the front desk manager, mm-hmm. and then all of us minions below. So it would get to the point where we'd have nights where we'd have 10 more reservations coming in. It's 9 o'clock at night, but we only have 5 more rooms. So then we'll look at the 10 reservations and we'll go, all right, well, Mr. Johnson's here every week. We got to have a room for Mr. Johnson. And then you'll go, well, Mr. Kerr, that guy is such an asshole. If we don't give him a room, he'll fucking go crazy. So you kind of make a decision in your head who you're going to give the rooms to.
Oh, okay.
So then what happens is Mr. Maniscalco, let's say, comes before Mr. Johnson and before Mr. Kerr. And I do have a room. Mm-hmm. But if I give it to you, I'm going to have to walk one of those guys later and they're going to go crazy. So I'll walk you, meaning I'll give you cab fare, and we'll set you up at another hotel where they're waiting on you, and we give you the money for the cab fare. Especially because we had a lot of sister hotels, and then people would go, "Hey! Hey! I just flew in! I don't want to get in another goddamn cab! I made a reservation!" And then I'd have to go, "I'm very sorry, sir, but unfortunately, some people extended their stay and we had to put a few rooms out." "Hey! I don't give a shit! Where's my room I want?" "I'm so sorry, sir. Here's the cab fare. We're all set up for you over there." And in my head, I'm like, "Get the fuck out of here! Yeah, I can't! I don't want to do this!"
I know. It's awful. But that being said,
yeah,
how do you determine whether or not you are going to give somebody a free upgrade? Does that depend on how nice they are? Give us a tip. Because when I go to these hotels, mm-hmm. and I just want to say, maybe start talking to the front desk person. "Say, hey, how's it going today? You all right? Busy?"
"Yeah."
"Where you coming?" "I've come in from L.A. I try and establish rapport.
Right.
Thinking.
Yes.
They're going to go, "This guy's a nice guy. Let's throw him the suite." Does that work?
Yes. Being nice always works. But being an asshole works too, because and in the hotel business, the more of a stink you make, the more you're going to get off your bill or anything else, because they just want to get you the hell out of the lobby. They don't want other people to see you yelling or getting all pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of both things work, but being nice is really the route to go. It's so wild though, because I was just doing it because my sister is in sales and she got me the job.
Yeah,
she went to school for hotel, you know, manager or whatever. But I worked with a guy at the time, same age as me, who graduated college in the hotel industry, whatever that major is. And he goes, "I remember when I was a kid, I would go like to Disney World with my family, or we'd go on vacation somewhere warm. And I'd go up to the desk with my dad to check in while my mom and sister would wait over in the lobby. And the front desk people, they were always so nice to me when they looked down, telling me to have a good time and enjoy it. And I was so excited to be away from home and on vacation that even as a young age, I said to myself, someday I'm going to check people in." And in my head, I was like, wow. I was like, well, congratulations.
Oh, man.
Do you believe that? I mean, truth be told, he's now an assistant GM. And to be a GM at a hotel in New York City,
that's a big deal.
It's a cool job, man.
It's a nice job.
Because our hotel, all the New York Rangers, the hockey team, would stay there during the daytime. They'd have a practice before the game. So after practice, they'd all come over, they'd eat in the restaurant, and then they'd all go up to rooms and rest. Not the great ones. Like Messier had his hotel. He's like, I mean, his apartment. He's like, where the fuck go? But the GM of our hotel had ring seats right by ring. You know, he knew anything going on at the garden he was in on.
That's nice. It's nice. A lot of perks there. A lot of perks.
One time, and I want to ask you a story like this. Do you have any famous encounters? Like the one that was so funny to me that only stands out is Keanu Reeves was in a band called Dogstar.
Mm-hmm.
Lou, can we get a little clip of Dogstar?
No way. No way. What is this garbage?
Yeah, okay. Now, they were on a mini tour, all right? And he wanted to keep it real with the band, so they were traveling on the band's budget, not some movie star budget.
Yeah.
So our hotel was kind of like an in-between, 3.5-star. So the day this guy's checking out, I worked front desk, and we had a young guy who was interning, all right? And he's a nice guy, man, but he was there for the summer. The GM gave him the job. Now, Keanu Reeves checks out, and he's got a big army duffel bag, and he's in like dirty jeans and a ski cap, rock and roll, right? So he comes up. He's the only one there. It's Sunday, like 11 o'clock, checks out. And as soon as he's done checking out, the kid is next to me, and he leans over and he goes, "I'm sorry, my girlfriend's a huge fan. Is there any way I can get an autograph made out to her?" And Keanu Reeves is like, "Sure, dude, no problem," you know, and he signs it. And the kid looks back at it and likes it and stuff, so he looks up at Keanu Reeves. Keanu Reeves says, "Take care," and he signs it, and he goes to walk away. And as Keanu Reeves is walking away, the kid looks up at him and goes, "Thanks again, Agent Utah," which I don't know if you know, was a famous character he played, Johnny Utah, an FBI agent in Point Break.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So
100% pure adrenaline?
Yeah. And he goes, and that's what he said, right? He goes, "Thanks again, Agent Utah." Keanu Reeves is the only one in the lobby. He drops the fucking army bag on the ground, turns around and looks right at the kid and yells out, "I am an FBI agent!" Which is exactly what I was fucking stunned. We both started cracking up. And Keanu Reeves goes, "Where's the bar, guys?" And we're like, "Oh, it's right downstairs." And I just went downstairs. I was the coolest. For that alone, I will always be a Keanu Reeves fan.
Great, man. I thought you were gonna say he got pissed off that he said that. No. Wow, what a nice guy.
And the craziest, well, not the craziest, but then about a half hour later, I go down to the restaurant to get a cup of coffee. The whole waitress staff, all the girls, they're huddled around the bar area, and they have a regular glass wrapped in a linen napkin. Apparently, Keanu Reeves had a screwdriver, the drink, in that glass, and then he left. They were drawing straws to see who gets Keanu Reeves' glass.
Whoa.
Holy shit. We can't even break into the top 200.
Does anybody want our glass?
Oh, man. How about you, man? You ever serve anybody like ridiculously famous? I mean, the president goes to the Four Seasons, no?
Well, I worked there 7 years. It's in Beverly Hills. Four Seasons, where all the press junkets happened for all the movies.
Oh, my
much.
God. So, you've seen everybody. I mean,
everybody pretty much came through there. I remember Pacino coming in, sat down at table 134. Still know the table he sat. And the guy is by himself. And I don't know what this guy does, but he must say lines in his head, and because he's like mumbling to himself, and I don't know if he's getting into the character that he's working on, but he's so intense, you don't even want to go up to the table. I even told the other waitress, I go, this guy's talking to him. So I went over there, got a hot tea, brought the hot tea.
So wait, so you are serving him?
Yeah, but I'm not... See, at the Four Seasons, the reason they come in there and what they tell you at the Four Seasons is these people don't want to be left alone. So it's not like we're working at TGI Fridays where you go, I can't believe it. I'm waiting on Scarface. You know, like right. We would never get away with get the Keanu Reeves story. You can't do that at the Four Seasons.
Oh, well, I thought this kid was going to get in trouble for doing it. But luckily, our supervisor even laughed because Keanu Reeves made it so okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm saying... You're the one serving him, so you at least just go, hello, sir, what can I get you? Or do you...
Yeah, no, hello, you know...
Do you say Mr. Pacino or just pretend you don't even know?
Pretend I don't even know it's him.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to sit down and, you know, have a...
Of course.
But, you know, just say, you know, he ordered a hot tea, brought the tea out, and he spilled the tea for some reason. Something happened with the tea, spilled the tea, left, and then was... You know, and then he walked through the bar. Some people yelled his name, and he was still mumbling his character, and then he walked out. So it was just really odd. Him and De Niro were very similar in the fact that De Niro, I couldn't even understand what the hell he was saying.
Really?
He'd come to the table, he'd be like, this, yeah, right? I said, what? And then I go back, and I go, I didn't even, you know, like, you don't even want to ask him again to repeat it. So yeah. I figure I'm going to leave, and hopefully by the time I leave to the register, I'm going to figure out what the hell he said.
Let me just take it all
Let
in.
Let me take it in. So then I came back with it. I got his drink order. I came back, and then he's like, and then I said, I'm sorry. He goes, more almonds. More almonds. What? Refill the almonds. I said, okay.
I said, what?
Well, you know, like when you're a waiter, you got to bend. Then you become almost like a, you got to bend over at the, it's weird. You know, I'm sorry. You know, like a grown man, I'm sitting there almost kneeling at the table going, please tell me what you said because I don't want to get hit.
I never waited tables. That's a.
God, it's terrible.
It's tricky, man.
It's terrible. There was a guy that used to come in there. He came in with two black guys, and the black guys were like ex- basketball players, and they start throwing around some big money, and I was like, wow, these guys are deep pockets. He used to come down, the leader used to come down, start getting all the expensive wine we had, $1,000 bottles, would ring up $15,000-$16,000 bills, and he loved that he was sitting in my section because we hit it off, me and this guy. His name was I forget his name. Well, I actually know his name, but I don't want to say it on the air.
He was a pro hoop player.
No, not this. The guy that was running this thing wasn't a pro hoop player, but a couple of guys in his crew used to play ex-basketball players. So he's like, I like you, man. I like you. I want you to be my server. I'm going to be here for a while. I'm going to set up shop, and I want you to take care of us. $15,000, $16,000 bills. He's giving me $1,000, $2,000 tip a night.
Wow.
All the other servers start getting jealous that I get this guy.
Yeah.
So to cause no animosity between the work staff, we would have to alternate on his table when he came in. So I didn't always get him. So we had to spread it around. Yeah, yeah. Right? I said, okay, fine. No, I'm going to be that greedy. So this guy tells me, you do comedy? I said, yeah. He goes, how much to come up to my room and do a set in the living room? I said, what? this is another, what? He goes, this is 2-3 years into doing comedy. Mm-hmm. Never done a private gig, nothing. Especially in somebody's living room in their hotel. He goes, I got the presidential suite. I'm going to have some business associates coming in for the weekend. I want to provide them with a little entertainment. But I want you to perform in our living room. But what I want to have happen is I want you to act like you are room service. And you're going to come up. You're going to come up with the order that I ordered, right? In your tie and whatnot.
Yeah.
He goes, what I want to do is I want to get a breakaway chair in the room. I'm going to get very angry at you that you did not get my order right. And I want to break the chair over your back in front of my business associates. What? Now, so, I'm like, all right, now my manager's standing right next to me while he's saying this. He's like, my manager's like, we will allow Sebastian to go up on his break and do a 15-minute set in the living room. However, we cannot have any breakable chairs or anything up there. It's a liability. If a piece of wood breaks off and hits somebody in the room, we can't have that happen. But he's welcome to go up there and do the set. So he goes, how much you charge for that? Now I said, yeah, and I started muttering. I didn't know what to say. And he's like, I give you $500. Come up and do the set. I'm like, this is unbelievable. Yeah. Gives me $500 right there, right. Cash. So Friday night comes, waiting for his phone call to come on up. No phone call, nothing. Next day, I said, what happened? Yeah, we didn't end up having the meeting. So I said, well, and I had the $500 on me. I said, here you go. Here's the $500. I'm sorry, it didn't work out. He's like, what's that? He goes, I go, it's the $500 you gave me. He goes, hey, keep it. I go, well, I didn't perform. He goes, you perform every day. Take it. So I could not believe the amount of money I got out of this guy.
Wow.
Turns out he had a Ponzi scheme going for $90 million.
Holy shit.
So, there's one time he came in with his wife. And it was their anniversary. This is at the Four Seasons anniversary. He's sitting in the back room. This is kind of around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. No one's really in the bar.
Yeah.
He's sitting in the back room with a great bottle of champagne. And all of a sudden you hear, that's life. That's the way it. He had a Sinatra impersonator come and sing to him at the table.
Oh.
What the fuck? In the middle of the bar?
Oh, shit.
So,
God, I thought you were going to say it was Tony Bennett back then.
No, God, it would have been nice.
Holy.
But Sinatra did come into the Four Seasons when he was alive. I wasn't there to see this, but he did come in, played a piano in the back with some of the staff and whatnot. So.
Wow. I share the freight elevator because I go down a lot to the locker rooms down where the housekeeping is in the basement. And that's also where the freight elevator is from outside that takes you up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a freight elevator, but it's a back secret elevator. And when she was still alive, you know, Rosa Parks, the woman who wouldn't sit down in the back of the bus, she was really old and she was in a wheelchair and she was coming in to be the guest of honor at some function in the ballroom. And I got to share the elevator ride up with her and tell her that it's an honor to meet her. I was pretty excited about that, man.
She must have been, what, 80s?
She was so old and frail.
Did you tell her, hey, you know, I really appreciate what you did?
I said, it's an honor to meet you. What do you want me to say?
Yeah, no. I thought, did you go in any further? Take it down a notch.
No, she was really old and frail, man. I mean, she wasn't ready to have a conversation to that extent.
Yeah.
I had a guy one time call me from his room because we had to wear the little name tags.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, is this Pete? Well, and I, you know, I really, we always go, hi, this is front desk, Pete speaking. How can I help you? And he goes, what time are you done working? And I go, well, my shift finishes at 4 o'clock, sir. If there's anything I can do to help you up until then, I'd be happy to help you. Well, would you like to come up to my room after 4 p.m.? I'll give you $300 to rub your feet.
What?
And I go, excuse me? And then I look because the phone has a screen. I wanted to make sure it was, and it was like room 2604, you know, so it was a real room. I go, excuse me, sir? I'd like to rub your feet. I'll give you $400 if you let me rub your feet. I'm sorry, sir. I don't feel comfortable with that. Are you sure, Pete? Because I said, no, sir. Thank you very much. And I hung up. I turned to that guy who I worked with who fucking said he couldn't wait to grow up and do that stupid job.
Wow.
Not stupid. I apologize, people. It's a really, it's an honorable job, man. It is. But I go, dude, this fucking guy just wanted me to go up this week and rub my feet.
Did you see him after that floating around the hotel at all?
Well, the off front desk is set back and the lobby's very big. But I do that kind of look in, see if you can see the guy. Because it's like, come on, man.
Rub your feet. Go rub it out.
Right, dude?
Weird.
Yeah, crazy stuff. We had one time, there was a bellman, Carl, big Polish guy I worked with. He's still there to this day. But we had a guy who was staying in the hotel who was deaf. And we didn't have any sort of a system. He needed a wake-up call. So the only way you wake up somebody like that at the time was you manually go up there and gently. I mean, there's even a technique where you're supposed to touch him on the shoulder or whatever. But they send two people up. Just for legal purposes, I would go when I have the master key, and then the bellman went in, and you go in, and it's so funny because you don't know why, but you know you're not noisy because someone's sleeping anyway. You don't, you know. And as he rubs him awake, a guy goes over and he's like all pissed off. What the fuck is going on? We were in the wrong room. That's too funny. We were in the wrong room. It was two guys that were colleagues, and so they had two rooms, but they accidentally were in each other's opposite rooms. So we thought we were in the other guy. And he goes, that's my colleague in 1402. Jesus Christ.
Did anybody ever...
Can I get more almonds? Can I get more almonds? More.
Refill the almonds. Refill it right now.
Now, if you do a movie with De Niro someday, you gotta say, you asked me for more almonds. Would you not bring that up?
I wouldn't bring that up.
Don't bullshit me. I don't like it.
You wouldn't bring up that he...
I did that once before with, I think his name was Byron Allen. I waited on him and Jamie Foxx at the Four Seasons Hotel. And I did that show he's got on Comics Unleashed.
Yeah.
And I said afterward, I said, I remember waiting on you Oscar night, you and Jamie Foxx, when you guys came in. He's like, oh, yeah, that's great. So it was
did
like.
Did you follow that up with, and I only remember because you were fucking with Jamie Foxx. Asshole.
No, maybe if I got closer with him, I'd bring that story up about the almonds. But I think, I don't know. It's just
closer with him than you already are? What, do you guys only get together on Sundays right now? He said closer. Maybe if you knew him. I'm sorry, bro.
No. He did come to a show.
De Niro came to one of your shows.
We did a show in New York City. And he's got a film festival there. It was a Tribeca Film Festival.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was in a very small part in a documentary called Just Like Us, which is a documentary about comedy in the Middle East.
I'd heard of that documentary.
Ahmed Ahmed produced it, directed it. And De Niro came to the after party where we did comedy.
Holy shit, I stand corrected.
So he was there while I was doing comedy. And this is like, this is one of these moments where you would think that this would happen. I don't know. You hear stories like Don Rickles was doing a thing and Sinatra walked in and they became buddies,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking De Niro's in the crowd. And in my head, there's a part of me that's going, we might be having cappuccino tomorrow afternoon. Right?
Hey, man.
So he's there with his wife and whatnot, and we meet after the show. Nice. You're good. I mean, I was going to go, almonds.
He probably would have laughed.
What?
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah, we met again. I mean, not that it was like he would remember who the hell I was, but there's some pictures of him laughing at my comedy at that show.
Last week, I was at jury duty the whole week. Am I the only one going to this stuff?
Yeah.
I told my friends, you going now? We shred it. What?
So it was nice to see a guy that you kind of grew up watching, to admire kind of what you're doing. It's nice.
Slightly nice, man.
Yeah. So yeah. Now, the next time we meet, maybe I'll whisper.
You got to bring up the almonds. You got to. I can't wait to do a movie with Keanu Reeves to just say, bro, yeah, no. I was working front desk when you were in that terrible band. All right, oh, man.
Funny. The show has ended.
Kind, gentle, generous, sexy. But enough about me. Here's to you.